Blog Talk Radio.
Serving up the beats and making it hot.
Making it hot.
It's DJ IQ.
The right way. Shake up. with an attitude. Fellas that we're in the mood. Ladies with an attitude. Fellas that we're in the mood. Ladies with an attitude. Fellas that we're in the mood. Ladies with an attitude. Fellas that we're in the mood. Ladies with an attitude. Fellas that we're in the mood. Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's get to it.
In the box, in my double vision. Let me see you do the bank head. If you're rich, if Spotify. Hey.
I didn't see. I was going from the cam.
Hey, everybody. Hey, America. Welcome. Get out. Go. Hey, America. This is me. It's Nicole. Hi. Welcome to the Sister to Sister Show, Ladies Nights, the platform for all you girls and you.
I knew I was able to add people to the group.
You need to mute your phone.
Who, me?
Yes, girl.
Oh, shit. I didn't know I was on. Sorry.
Like I said, the ladies night, we all know what it's about. Tonight, basically, what I'm going to start off doing is yesterday, I know a lot of you guys did not get to get on the phone or say you're ready. I'm not looking for a rowdy platform. A lot of you guys didn't get to press one or come on or have any rebuttals and say that. We will do that for a short, very short period of time. After today, I plan to be done with it. I hope you all plan to be done with it. What's done is done. It's gone. It's over with. Congratulations to the Revlons. Congratulations to the Balenciagas. Congratulations to the overall mother, Couture Kelly. Congratulations to Jasmine. And congratulations to all you guys who went and had fun and enjoyed yourself and told me, you know, privately that you girly guys had a lovely time there at the ball. So we're going to get past that I'm going to allow you guys to come on and say if you have something to say nice or, you know, whatever about the board. But after that, we were moving in because my special interview, if you haven't heard, well, let me tell you, I am going to be having for the next couple of weeks the My Life Show. And that show will consist of people coming on and telling them their story and telling them how they reached from where they were to where they are now. So, you know, this whole thing, I'm not what I used to be, you know. You know, but I'm not what I used to be, you know. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I used to be. So I want to be able to just give the platform where somebody, people can come, and we're going to have some fabulous guests like the icon Tony Revlon, the icon Letitia Revlon, who has a lovely story. I have a lot of things in store for you guys coming up in the coming weeks ahead. But tonight, we're going to do the overall Mother Couture. It's very appropriate because everything is following right behind each other. You all guys know that she has left and her house that she's been a part of for, so I was 10, maybe about 16, 17 years. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to be a part of one person. That's a lot of time to have been building and standing one foundation under Jack and Andre for so many years and having all the fans and the friends and children that she has gained from that. She has decided to move on her own and to do things and to rebuild her foundation and her image on her own. So kudos to Kelly, everybody. If you're there, clap for her, because I think that, you know, that's what life is all about, change. You be one place and then you end up in another place. You know, God does that. You just never stay still. You're not supposed to. If you are staying still in your life right now, something is wrong. You need to be moving, which is what I was doing all day. Why? You guys are going to have to bear with me. I am extremely tired. I got off the phone 4 o'clock in the morning, was back up at 7 because I have my own child and my own personal things that I have to take care of. So you just could bear with me. When I'm tired, I get very short-tempered, so please don't come and be rude and catty and everything. You will get fucking red. You know, I'm not feeling like that. When we go into Kelly interview, you guys could be able to call and ask Kelly questions, the overall Mother Couture. I'm going to say Mother Couture. I want you to be able, you can come up there and you can ask her any type of questions. She's not going to be defensive, and she's bind herself into my people, talk to her people, and she binds herself into this whole thing about being honest and telling the truth on her behalf, because you know everybody got a behalf. So, but we're going to hear Kelly's behalf, not just about her ballroom career, but where she pretty much come from, how she pretty much was ridiculed, who looked at all the people that looked down on her, how she sat in the shadows of the underdog for such a long, long time, and to be able to come and have such a strong platform and to have such a strong voice is amazing. Who was last will be first. Who was first will be last. So you got to understand how life goes. Things get changed around real quick. So don't go closing your eyes thinking that it's over, because it just began. So you should go get your friends. If you on the phone, If you're on the phone line and you want to express your feelings or you would like to say something about how much fun you have at the Colette E, London, I would like to see her get London up here because, you know, I'm going to need somebody to wake me up. If you want to discuss how you felt and everything or would you have something you would like to rebuttal about, I've spoken to several leaders today. I think, the situation is being leveled down. I would greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure coming from the overall father, the CEO man, and Grandpa James, Tony, I'm sure everybody would like for all this, you know, less shade and more of being able to agree to disagree. And that's what's up because we're all really family. Whether we're family because you're my sister and I'm your brother, we're family under God's eyes. So maybe that can be toned it down a little bit or whatever. Man may need to come and say some things addressing who the people that may be addressing him. If he comes on the show, we will deal with that then. If any one of y'all on the phone from Philadelphia, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and y'all have something that y'all did not get to share, something that y'all did not say, something that y'all want to elaborate on, you know the overall Mother Couture's in the wings, linking. You heard her. You guys heard her. You're preparing herself for her exclusive interview. And I'm pretty sure you know how this station goes. You just come up here and you say somebody's name. And, you know, they're calling in. And that's just how that goes. So, like I said, I'm really tired. I've had a productive day. I'm kind of exhausted, but I couldn't back up out of this because now this is my set day, so I have to come and I have to speak to you and everything. But y'all all do look forward to hearing Tony's Revlon, the icon Tony Revlon interview, R.R. Chanel, Letitia, and I'm looking to, and my femme queens, you legends, you icon femme queens that are listening, you can give me a call. Call my red phone. I would like to interview you. If you think you have a true story, an honest, true story that can help somebody or make somebody feel like their situation is not as bad as they may think it is, then you need to be coming up here to tell your story. If your story can change somebody's life and allow somebody to look and feel different about themselves, then you need to come up here and tell your story. We need to stop holding out. It's too much holding out, but a lot of fighting. It's too much holding out, but a lot of aggravation and frustration. But no one is being truthful and saying what's really going on. Well, let me tell y'all something that's really going on. I've noticed in the past week and stuff, and this will be another topic, but I just wanted to throw this on y'all skirt, being that y'all throwing the balls and stuff. Like about 17, maybe 16, and kids in different houses who are running around here totally unaware about all the things about HIV and that are positive. How you like that? Can y'all deal with that? Can you put that in your pipe and smoke it? But we can put the money in this and who won and who that and that. Okay, that's fun and games in this ballroom. But now, you know, let's do some real life stuff. So if you can put that in your pipe and you can smoke it, then you can become it. You can come on this show and you can come and address me. So I want to make sure, like I said, I want to give everybody a chance as far as that didn't get through the phone lines. They're in the wings. If you're there, press 1. If you have something to say, press 1. If you want to speak to somebody, press 1. If you have somebody to address about the Kalei or anything else that have went on over the past weekend, press 1. After I move on to Kelly Business, because her life story is her business, and she's opening up her business, because I'm going deeper than what y'all know, to you people and us people and all of the people that's out there that know and watch and listen to her. We're not going to go. I'm not going into that. I can't do both. You can't be negative and I can't do both. So if you want something you need to say and you want to say something and you want to move forward on anything, then you can press 1 and you can come up on this line. I didn't personally call a lot of people today. I'm very tired. So if your girlfriend's on the line and your sister's on the phone or somebody's on the line and you like to come on the line, you can do something. The first call I have is 893. You're on the air. 347-898. You're on the air. Hello. 347-898. You're on the air. Okay, you're gone. 314-546. Welcome to Ladies Night. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Day.
Hi, Day. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. What's going on?
I'm just calling about Amber Cole, and how do you guys feel about the Amber Cole situation?
The Amber Cole?
Yes, the Amber Cole situation.
I don't know. Maybe you need to elaborate. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Amber Cole is a young girl who was videotaped giving oral to middle schoolers on a schoolyard.
Is that actually true, or are you just being...
No, it's actually true. It's been on Twitter and Facebook and CNN.
I'm not sure about it. I'm not, you know, I haven't seen it. I don't know what it is. But what I will say to that is, if that is true and there's an adult giving minors head on the thing, that's not funny.
No, these are all middle schoolers. No, these are all middle schoolers.
And if they're an adult middle schoolers, period, they should be burnt. I don't believe that. I think that's just, even though they may be middle schoolers, that's malicious. And it's a manipulating game because you're older, you're wiser, and you're doing whatever you need to do. And can I ask one more question? Are they gay, straight, or?
No, these are all about 14, 15-year-old boys getting oral from about 13, 12-year-old girl.
Oh, wow. They had a ball.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God. They had such a young experience. Okay. Well, I still didn't approve that because I have a daughter that's 11. So that's not the topic I'm looking to address anyway. But do you have anything to say about what happened or anything else about the collections or any thing? You're going to be listening to Kelly's exclusive interview. Do you have anything you want to address?
Yes. Why they got to carry like that? You know, it's like kind of disappointing because, you know, you pay $30 to get into a ball, right? And all that shit break out. Like, why?
That's what happens, unfortunately. It's been happening for the last couple of months and stuff. You're asking a question that has been answered over and over and that has been asked consistently and consistently. You know, we can't change that. But what we can do is change ourselves. So you could start changing that question and giving us more of a solution.
No shade.
And giving me a solution, because you said that's how your 30 girls, you're right. Tell me with your 30 girls, what could we do? What would you think? And don't be shady. I mean, I said I'm really tired. So don't be shady. What do you think that can be done to change it?
You know, having a list of, you know, girls at the ball that, you know, keep up some shit, whatever. If you feel like the girl is shady and she's a fool, she's a pickle, she doesn't get in, you know. She can't judge a ball or nothing like that, whatever. Maybe there's another mother or father that could represent the house on a panel or such, and a certain girl should not get in. And the parents should be held responsible for the tour.
Oh, okay. I thought you was going to be cootie. Okay, that was very smart. Thank you. I could take that. I really could take that. That's right. I think maybe we need to leave them. Whoever's in the background, be quiet. Your friend is talking. I think we should leave the negativity outside the door, basically. That's what you basically say. Whoever's going to bring that shit, whoever's going to start coming and picking, maybe we need to say, you know what? You're not welcome to this.
It's not like these houses are like, you know, newbie houses. These, you know, the iconic and legendary houses. So why are they carrying like that?
Right. Well, you know, competition brings that. What I don't like is how crazy it gets. But competition does bring that. But I appreciate everything you said, and I appreciate your solution. And stay in the line, because you need your girlfriend's in the background. Hey, y'all can stay tuned to hear the overall Could Mother Couture and her exclusive interview. So y'all stay in the line. Y'all may got something for her. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Anybody else on the line? Anybody else that has something to say? Anybody else that have a solution, a question? Oh, one more. 678-350, you're on the air.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
This is Rodney Balenciaga.
Hi, Rodney Balenciaga. This is not my word. What's Rodney Balenciaga? Rodney Balenciaga?
Yes, you're Rodney Balenciaga.
No, that's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, what's wrong with your voice? And why you got a 7-6?
I'm a little tired.
Okay, well, you're
myself.
What's going on? What's the deal? Where would you like to get up on here and say?
I just wanted to come on and say, first of all, to thank Jasmine for a wonderful weekend. You know, I had a really great time at the function, you know, and also just to comment on some things that Kelly said.
I'm sorry,
last
Rodney
night.
Balenciaga. I'm so sorry. I'm tired. I'm so sorry. I got it together. Okay, go ahead. I was just sitting here like, okay, go ahead.
Say comment on some things Kelly said last night in regards to, you know, the hard work that she and Jasmine had put in to making that such a successful function. And I just wanted to say, like, you know, I can remember that some of the most successful balls have been held at places where it was actually holes in the wall, you know, and for Jasmine to do what she does, to give it like she gives it, you know, and for it to be so unappreciated, you know, because how would they feel if that next ball she gave was at a hole in the wall and that she did not give out all her money, as Kelly stated, people do. They go to these balls, half the time they don't get their money, the places be a mess, you know, but in the interim, I just want to say that no matter where the ball is being held, how much the place costs, people are going to be who they are, because Kelly and Jasmine spoke about the way the place was left with the Coke bags on the floor, the way the people had defecated in the toilets and everything. You know, they don't care about their own shit, so they sure is not going to care about nobody else's shit. Or
they
don't
have
any
shit.
Well, yeah.
You know, let's tell the truth, Shane the Devil. People don't know, not to cut you off, Rodney, people don't know how to treat something they never had. People don't know how to give love if they never received it. People don't know how, you know, some of these things are given to us when we were born and in our mother's womb, and some things are just given to us from the Lord above. But when people don't have any training and they're not used to having anything or respecting anything, they know not how to respect or, you know, treat somebody else's stuff. I heard about what they did from personal people. They said they tore that place the fuck up.
Yeah, you know, and because you can take a monkey, dress him up in the finest suit, put him in a limousine, and take him to the finest restaurant, and he's going to still do what? Order bananas.
You could take the monkey out the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out the monkey.
Okay. They're going to be who they are, and they're going to be who they've always been, you know, and it's just sad that so much has been put in, and so much has been unappreciated.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely
they're always looking for so much of these balls is this, these balls are that. But you go to every ball, and you hardly get a chance to go to a ball of that of this magnitude, which has just happened, and you do the same shit. Okay. So, you know, that's basically all I just wanted to touch on. And to tell Jasmine as well as Kelly, you know, that I appreciate the time that they tried or attempted to put on for everyone to enjoy themselves this weekend. Okay?
Definitely. Kudos. Thank you. I think what you said was very well said, and it needed to be said. And that's what we should be saying instead of saying all this other stuff that doesn't make any sense. I'm sure Kelly heard you, and I'll make sure I say the same thing to Jasmine. Thank you so much, Rodney. I'm sorry. I'm extremely tired.
I
love you, too. I'm just gone. But I'm here. Okay. Stay on the phone because Kelly exclusive interview is coming. And if y'all want to know her dirt and her tea, y'all better be on this line when I get ready to pull her in. Okay, thank you, Rodney. Have a nice night.
You're welcome, baby.
All right. My next caller is 347-316. Miss Rain, you're on the line.
Hi, Nicole, darling.
Hi, who's this?
This is Terrell Ebony.
Hello. She came.
You jacket.
Wait, hold up, everybody. This is one of the original Butch Queen Vogue femme bitch. A lot of you girls have gotten your catwalk from this bitch, and y'all not even know it because things has evolved and evolved and evolved. But I just want to give the legendary Terrell Ebony some kudos. Thank you. You came. I love you.
I can't do it now. Now, I just got finished watching the collection ball. Of course, I didn't attend.
Uh-huh.
I will be there on the 29th. All right, but however, now, for the $5,000, now, I watched it in its entirety. And honestly, the House of Prodigy should have won. However, Tony, the House of Revlon, deserved to win. When I say that, meaning, if Tony didn't come back up there and read for them being chopped, then he wouldn't have won. But you have to admit, they were the most polished. They were the most put together. And if you actually saw that movie, it's more of a musical opposed to a movie. So it's not too much they could have done to elaborate the effect. However, the House of Prodigy was on point because the Addams Family has more to work with. But in my honest opinion, I think that the House of Prodigy should have won. The House of Revlon was the second runner-up, if you ask my opinion, only because they only had the Legends Walk and their whole production. And because Miss Tony is a strong force, you have to know that this is 2011, and Miss Tony right now, I know no disrespect, Tony. You know, I love you down. However, Tony is the steward of our time now. So, therefore, you know, he's the mover and shaker. Now, I may regret saying this, but, you know, I'm going to speak the truth, and that's just how it is. I think they deserve to win. After Tony came and made his mark and let the child know exactly what he was judging, yes, they deserve to win. But if that never happened and you just totally judge on just the overall entrance and all of that, the House of Prodigy should have won.
I am, first of all, you've been on a roll with the way you've been speaking since our last argument, because Terrell is a very dear friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, y'all, so I need you to know. And Terrell, I just realized why we are friends, because that's all I've been, the way you put it, the way you exactly said it is what I have said to man who's probably on the line listening. Tony, who's probably on the line listening, and to father and anybody else that I can, Terrell, I cannot say how you just ate that. That's exactly what I have been saying, and for that, I think that all the other stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, so, I think the House of Ibiza did good, but we're gonna be real, they've done better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the House of Blahnik turned it, but because of their prop situation and the miscommunication and the audio skills, they didn't really pull off. However, the House of Revlon production is from its neatness from the beginning to the end was over. The House of Prodigy was over from the beginning to the end. However, if a child does not know who he's judging, she shouldn't judge. Now, everybody in Tony's house that walked that category was either a fat statement or a fat legend. Now, in that instance, there's no need to introduce them girls because you already know who those girls are. Well, apparently, we didn't know who the girl was that was judging. Because if I looked at, I knew who everybody in the house of Revlon was that walked that category, but the child that was judging, I didn't know her. Now, so, and Tony made a very valid point is, basically, if you didn't see the movie, sweetie, then, you know, that movie is kind of hard to kind of make a production out of. You know, it's more of a musical. So, their part that they did for the movie was actually all they could do. But the House of Prodigy ate it from the beginning to the end. So, you know, only man can actually bring it like that, might I add, because man is like the shit. But maybe with words. Nicole, I came on your show to pay homage because, you know, after our last conversation, I wanted to be welcome on your show. You know, I have a lot to say.
We got a lot of it. This is not the time that you're going to say it because I got a whole bunch of callers that all want to say, which I hope you said it. So you said it.
One shout out.
Go ahead. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Listen, I think that the House of Christian is going to turn it for 2012. And I hope they do. I'm rooting for them. I love Miss Ayana and I love Charles. I think that it's a fabulous idea. And also the other house that just came out, Extinct, girl, what house is it? Extinct or Extinct?
It's
you kidding. I love Miss Ayana. I think it's over. I think the garçons are like pets. Everyone should have one.
Oh.
So I'm going to say that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell Kiana to be quiet. I'm going to put you back in queue because this show is not over until the next 2 hours. Tell her to be quiet. I love you, Terrell. Thank you so much for coming up here and, like, a real true leader saying your honest opinion. That was just, like, real. And I'm sure that Tony and man both can appreciate that. Kudos to you. Next caller is a private caller, thread lightly. Private caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. I just want to say, I'm not a Revlon, but I think that they looked it nice. They looked really, really, really good, and I think that they did a good job overall. The Prodigy, though, however, I think they should have been chopped when Lexi got up there and her size 17 shoe flung off where she was voguing. Have a good night.
Okay, good night. If anybody is on the phone line and you have anything that you want to add or say or, you know, talk about or before I move along, you're stupid. Before I move along in my dear sister's interview, I only have a couple of more minutes and we're going to whistle same. So if my people are there, if you don't come and make it hot, I will bring her on time. You know, she's all probably putting her makeup on, doing so because she smiling is going out. But if you're not, you know, please press one. Anybody that has a comment, statement, or, you know, even a shout out or whatever, just press one and you'll be brought on the line. So Switchboard, is there any more callers? Okay, I guess not. All right, so I'm gonna just do my little wasn't doing it, girl. I was talking about something else missing. Calm down. 917-364. You are on the air. 917-364. I wanna talk to you. You're on the air. 917-364, you're gone. Anybody on the phone line? 917-693, you're on the air. That must be Keisha.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi, baby. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
I love your show. Kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I didn't go to the ball because after my little experience in Chicago, I said no more major balls anymore because my conclusion, Nicole, is that us as a community, we're very jealous of one another. We don't like to see one person succeed. It's always something, and we need to get out of that shit. And another thing is, why do we get off impressing our enemy? We are impressing the wrong people. We should be impressing the people that we can learn, people that lead by example. We're so busy trying to impress our enemies, we will never, ever do what Jasmine wants to accomplish, us working as a team. It's so much animosity. It's so much jealousy. It will never get any better if we don't come out of that mold, okay? And it's sad that money brings people to where it did at that ball.
I'm going to say something to you, Keisha. I don't believe, I think, and I give Jasmine kudos and, you know, Kelly, and we all, and I appreciate Jasmine. She started the $15,000 club and a lot. Oh, wow. You call us that plus one. You stay right there. I see you. I do see you. But give me 1 second to break my point down.
I want to get away from the firm that we never going to do this, and we never can do this. And we can do anything the fuck we want as long as we put our mind together collectively and do what we have to do for a positive purpose for the children of the new school. Everybody is too stuck into their feelings. I'm a person who feel a lot. So I'm going to say it be the first one to admit that, yes, everything is not shade. If you have an opinion and if you feel a certain type of way, you should be entitled to it. You should be able to argue, to agree, to disagree. That's totally up to you. I don't think that Jasmine is going to be the last person to come in and throw a $15,000. What Jasmine has now done is open up the doors for people to feel bold enough and to go out there and to have enough courage to do exactly what she does, if not better. So I think it's all depending on how we're going to look at what Kelly's about to do. I think, and how many of y'all in her interview, I want y'all, make sure y'all stay on the line, can tell me y'all think that what y'all think she's going to move on, or if it's not going to be the right way, or if it's not going to be, we will soon see. So when, you know, as far as that and what people saying that what it is and what it's become, you're right. And I think it's a big, big fucking juice. But I don't think by saying, well, it never can be done and it can never be this. That's like me saying, well, I can never get an education and I'm dumb all my life and this, this, and that. We actually put in our minds what we are. We settle for and we put in our mind, we come a product of our own environment. We do that. You, me, to ourselves. Not them, her, to us. You hear me, Keisha?
I agree with you 110%. But my thing is, it's like, okay, the ball, it's okay, for example, I'm going to take it back to another ball. The ball where it was Laomi, it was Malaysia, that ball in D.C., it was for a cash prize. No one got it that year, so Jasmine did it another year. It seems like when there's a lot of money involved, someone is always one individual that wants to spark something or set stuff up where the shit is a flop. And it's fucked up. Again, jealousy. Jealousy.
Yeah, it's Solomon Gomorrah.
And it's sad because Jasmine, like Jasmine said, she's trying to change. She wants unity. She wants to follow what Martin Luther King wanted for years before he got assassinated. And how can we stop that shit and work together? And stop being so fucking shady. Stop. There's so much creativity. And the girls don't want to walk because they're afraid of being shot down by someone that don't see it because, oh, you're not the it factor, so I'm going to automatically chop you. And it has to stop, Nicole, because people are not going to want to walk.
Well, I'm a walk and I'm going because guess what, Keisha? I done been to the mountaintop and I looked over and I seen the promised land. So I'm going to be fine and you and everybody else will be fine as long as we can learn to work together. I don't want to cut you up because I got a bunch of callers and I got to interview her and then I want to go to sleep. So I appreciate you coming up here, Keisha. You're one of the best callers that we have on the show. Thank you so much for expressing your feelings and how we need to stop. And you listeners and callers out there, you should consider what the Keisha said, what the caller said, because it does need to stop. My next caller, thank you, Keisha, so much. My next caller is 917-345. You're on the air.
Hey, Nicole, this is Letitia. How you doing?
Hey, Lala, what's going on? How are you? I'm looking forward to your interview. I hope you're going to be listening to Kelly's because yours is going to be just as juicy.
I'm going to be listening to it, of course, if I tuned in to hear it. But that was Terrell Ebony from back in our days, Terrell.
Yes, that was.
Hey, Terrell.
Yes, that was. That was Terrell. The nasty, cunny, cut duck war queen.
I just wanted to say that I had a really nice time at Jasmine's bar, and it hasn't been a bar thrown like that in a long time, and all the creativity and the things that girls is actually putting the effort into it. Like, they was actually bringing it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a shout-out to Jasmine. I'm sorry, unfortunately, that did happen at the bar, because I wanted to, I was really going to walk Legendary Performance that night, too, and I was ready that night. But
I see you've been getting these discs together, they said. You are trying to learn how to lay out like the new children. You know, your disc has always been classic and old school. They said you tried to do it like the new children, bitch. Who said Letitia can't hang, baby? Y'all better learn it. Yes, they did.
I just wanted to say shout out to Jasmine. Like, that's what's up, her ball. I really had a nice time at that ball. And that's all I wanted to say. Shout out to all the houses and all the kids that did put an effort into, like, their costumes and stuff. I'm talking about for the whole ball, throughout all the categories, period. That's what I'm talking about. So I really enjoyed myself at that ball, and it was just sad that had to happen and the ball was over with so fast. But that's all I had to say. I'm going to still be listening.
Thank you, Auntie, so much. That is the icon of body and Femme Queen Performance, Letitia Revlon. And look forward to hearing her exclusive interview, because that's big juice. Okay? Thank you, Auntie, for calling in. The next caller I have is Maura, 718-710. You are now on the air. What you gagging for? Speak.
I didn't.
You're so stupid. Well, that is the legendary Derek Icon, my dear brother. You can put him. You got something to say more? Derek, you got something to say?
No.
I guess not. Put him back on hold, please. He didn't mean to press one. The next caller I have is 267-205. You're live on the air. 267-205. You're live on the air. No? You're gone. Switchboard, do we have any more? 917-364. You're live on the air. Thank you, Mona.
Hey, what's up, Nicole?
Hey, who's this?
My name is Neptune Milan.
Hi, Neptune Milan. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling in to say, like, a lot of people that are just talking about, like, oh, you know, Jasmine shouldn't throw another ball or whatnot. I totally disagree. I think she should definitely keep going with it. And it's well appreciated by a lot of people. And to the people who don't appreciate it, don't know how to act, I hold the house mothers and house fathers responsible. Like, for example, the reason I got in the ball scene was because my gay mother is Christina Tsunami, and, like, through her, like, I learned what family was at a point where I was about to be disowned by my real family. So it's just, like, to the house mothers and house fathers who hold those positions, like, they need to take those positions seriously, that kids look up to them and will listen to them. And I hold them responsible to, you know, basically instill to them how their kids should act and conduct themselves when they go to these balls. You know what I mean? And for us who do appreciate it, we shouldn't, you know, suffer for that, for someone who wants to throw, like, a fad ball or whatnot, just because it's a few bad apples in the bunch or whatever. So I definitely hope they go, like, through with it and keep doing what they're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think everything starts with a leader, and you're absolutely right. If you don't teach your kids no discipline, and if you don't teach them how to stop, then we're going to continue to have the same problem. We cannot change the world, but we can change ourselves. I keep saying that. Leaders, you can change yourself, and in return, it will fumble out there to your children. So, Carla, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, and can I just say also that the Revlons look beautiful.
Who? Mm-hmm.
The Revlons and that production, because that movie isn't easy to do at all. Like, it's not easy to do. And just the period costumes that they had, it was really done nice. So I definitely just think that they deserve to win.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the show and being able to put you back on hold. That 347 number, y'all, Letitia's going to have Rel, get my number. Y'all, I'm not going to have y'all reuniting on this line right now, because I'm about to go into the exclusive Revlon. Letitia, Terrell came to respond. But, you know, we have to go into the legendary overall, Kelly couture and her exclusive and her life and the things that has happened and brought her to where she is today and where and the things that are going to bring her to where she's going to go tomorrow. So let me just make sure she's ready. Give me a hold that pose.
And then,
she's
put
ready.
Your hands together for the bass, the real Julie Reed.
Hello.
Okay. Thank you, sister. We're going in. Welcome to the show, the owner of the show, and now the new overall mother of the House of Couture is Kelly, the overall mother. Couture, you got to get, Kelly, you know, I got to get used to that because I'm so used to Kelly. It's Ronnie thing, so don't gag if I give that. And I appreciate you coming up here because you and I have been friends a long time. You know what I give as far as interviewing and stuff, and I didn't think you would do it. But you're willing to open up yourself to all your fans and your children, so I really appreciate you coming on this line, ready to answer the questions from then to when to now.
Yes.
I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Okay. Like before on my show, when you know my life, it's not just about your ballroom. I'm all of us on this line. Y'all know Kelly is the host of the show, and her show is on Monday. Mine is Tuesday. So y'all know pretty much about, you know, her ballroom right now. But I want to go a little bit back further. I want to go a little bit back so that y'all can get a little bit open. You know, if you seen Luna clip, you said, you know, Kelly's not a bitch if you really get to know her. But a lot of people are intimidated by your voice, intimidated by your size, intimidated by your boldness to express your feelings or to say what's on your mind. I want to ask you, where did you think that came from? Do you think that it came from this, the life, the gay, the lifestyle, or would you say that you grew up being that type of person?
All of that came from the gay scene. If anybody knows me and know that when I came out, that for the first, I've been out for going on 15 years. What is today's date? Oh, hold on. Let me check today's date, honey. Hold on 1 minute, girls. Hold on. I got to check today's date. 18th. So as of Friday, I have been out in the gay life, in the ballroom scene for 15 years come Friday. All of that came in my first 2 years of me being in the scene and just sitting and observing and catching the shade that the girls would throw and the girls reading me in Pig Latin and me not knowing what the girls was talking about. So after a while, when I started to, you know, branch off to do something, I had to build a strong exterior for these girls not to let them to get to me. So anything that anybody may say or do to me, it has been done many years ago, so that's where all of that hardness came from. The girls made me like this. I didn't make myself like this.
Okay, after I'm doing my research, and now I have to do really research and write down questions for you because I know you, and I was out when you came out, and I know you pretty well in and out. And, you know, a lot of people say that you are this big bully and everything, but they, God bless you, Mona, God bless you. A lot of people say that you are this big bully and everything, but you, for me, I know that has a heart of 10 million people. And would you say growing up, because where did you just, did you grow up completely in Harlem?
I grew up in Harlem. I was born and raised in Harlem, 139th Street between Lenox and Fifth Avenue. I was born on there. I was born on that block. I moved from there and I branched off up the block to 141st between 7th and 8th, Drew Hamilton Project.
Okay, and did you live in a home with your mother and your father the whole time of your young childhood life?
No, I was raised like, if anybody ever hear me say
that I swear to my grandmother about something. I was raised by my grandmother. My grandmother was my heart and my soul, and she was my everything. I was raised by my grandmother for all my life. I was raised by my grandmother. I lived with my mother from time to time, but when it got rocky with my mother, I had to run on back home to grandma because that was the best place for me to be because grandma knows best.
You know, I definitely can order to that because I myself was raised a young, through my late child, like about 11, 12, by my grandmother as well. And I went back home to my mom. So we know about the whole grandma love. And how did, you know, your mom, first let me ask, how did your mom and your father receive you coming involved with this gay life? Or what did they think? And how did they find out that,
Well, my father, I haven't spoken to my father in over 13. It had to be, it's been about a good 16, 17 years since I've seen my father or spoke to my father. So my father doesn't know anything about me being homosexual at that time. My father doesn't know anything about my transition or anything.
And what about your mom? I know your mother.
And with my mother, it took a long time for her to take and get used to the fact of me transitioning because my grandmother and my aunts knew before my mother about my transition. So when I did transition and started to do my thing, they told me to bring Kelly to my mother's birthday party, and she lost her fucking mind.
Well, I mean, did she eventually come around to it and embrace you and...
Now, me and my mother, I knew after, like, the first 2 years of me doing it, she wasn't comfortable with it. I did a photo shoot, and I took some pictures as a butch queen in drag, and I gave my grandmother a picture to give to her. And so then one day, I was still a butch queen in drag, so I was peeling in and out. And so one day I went to her house as a boy, and she had the picture of me as a girl on her war unit. And so I knew she was coming around then.
Oh, okay, so she basically did actually come around, and
yes,
everything went fine. Okay, so now you, it's always easier. What did Miss Barbara think about it? You know, she's raised you the whole time.
She was my biggest supporter. She was my biggest supporter. Her and my cousin, Kai Mizrahi, legendary woman's performance, everybody know as Monique, but now she's Kai. She transitioned. Her and my grandmother was the one that gave me the name Kelly.
Oh, cool, Mo. Okay, and Miss Barbara. And so you live basically, like you said, you basically live with your grandmother your whole entire life. When did you actually move out?
I moved out of my grandmother's house. I was 17 years old, and I moved out of my grandmother's house, and I moved into my own apartment in the Bronx. And I was staying there in my apartment in the Bronx. I stayed there for about a good 3 years. From the time I was 17 till I was like 20, I stayed there. And then after that, I moved downtown to my apartment that I moved to in the Village with my late sister, Jennifer Evisu, and my daughter, Cat Eyes.
Okay. All right, so once you moved out of your mom's house and everything, you now have discovered the West Name. Now, before I go into your discovery, I want to ask a real personal question that I missed to ask earlier. A lot of us, when we came up and we were out, you know, we had the uncles and the cousins and the different things. And I want to ask you, you know, just for them call of views and the people that are feeling some type of way, I want to give you something to do. Have you ever been molested or been touched as a child by a family member, or was you one of the humping cousins or had a humping cousin that you know, made you want to be more into what it is that you are today?
I was never molested or fondled or anything by any of my uncles or my cousins, but I did, you know, play with a couple of my cousins by choice, of course.
Okay, so, all right, so now, yeah, of course, we're going to, that's where I start off with. Okay, now I want you to take a moment and tell us, the people, America, and all the whole ballroom, how did you come upon this lifestyle? You know, we know it's not a difference. We're all human beings, but the lifestyle that we live has a certain, you know, four corner to it. So how did you actually tumble upon this lifestyle, your sister, the Village, and everything? How did that happen?
As anybody know, the hospital that closed downtown in the Village, I used to work in the hospital. I used to work in that hospital in the information booth. I used to walk through the Village all the time
in the daytime. I used to work right there in the hospital on 12th Street and 7th Avenue. I used to walk to the Village all the time, get things to eat, at papayas and everything. And but this was in the daytime. This was from 9 to 5. I never knew anything about what went on down in the Village at nighttime, because the daytime Village and the nighttime Village is two different things. So I used to be down there. I never left it about none of this. I was gagging when I actually hit the Village Halloween night. I gagged when I hit the Village. I never knew any of this went on down there, and I really gagged. And so then one night, my cousin Monique was already in the lifestyle already, not knowing that she was in the lifestyle, and her baby father, Larry Mizrahi, was also in the lifestyle. And so one night Monique said, okay, I want to take you someplace. And so Monique took me and brought me downtown to the parade. And when I tell you, Nicole, and to the listeners, oh, my God, it was like I was gagging, like, this is what goes on down here at nighttime. I work down here. What the fuck goes on at night? I was so amazed by the parade and everything that went on, Nicole. When I tell you, when it was over, like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and me and Monique got back on that train, I laid in Monique's lap, and I fell asleep like a fucking baby. I was just so, like, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulder, bitch, and I was ready to spread my wings.
Yes. Worthless. I think that's how we all felt. And a lot of you callers out there that can relate, that when you found that Village, you found freeness. You know, you found a place where you can go and be yourself. So you basically, would Mo bring you back and forth to the Village, or did you just like eventually start finding your way there and just being there?
That was my first and my only time going to the Village, okay? That was my first and my only time going to the Village. And so then I think either that next week or the week after that, I was at Monique's house. And so Ray Ray was over, and they was having us, Ray Ray and Michi was over. At this time, I never knew. I knew Ray Ray and Michi and Monique danced together. I never knew that Ray Ray and Michi was lovers. I never knew. So, Monique, I go to the bathroom, and as I'm going to the bathroom and I'm coming back from the bathroom, I hear them talking about this club that they're going to tonight on 28th Street. They're going to this club tonight on 28th Street. So then I come in the room, and when I come in the room, everybody starts stop talking. And then they change the subject. So I say, okay, well, you know what? I'm about to go home. I was living in the Polo Grounds. I moved from the projects on 141st to the Polo Grounds. I say, you know what? I'm about to go home, and I'm going to see y'all later. So I go back out the room. I close the door. They finish talking about it. So after they finish talking about it, I run outside. I go downstairs to the train station, and I get a train map. I come back out the train station, and I go upstairs. And I'm looking on the train map to see every train that goes to 28th Street. So I see that the 1 and the 9 train go 28th Street. And I know they black, so they're not going to be partying on the 6 line on 28th Street. So it got to be this side on 28th Street. So I go upstairs, I take me a shower, I get myself together. And they leave, and they go to Brooklyn to Ray Ray and Michi's house. I go to 28th Street. I walk past the clubhouse. I see the people on the line. I'm like, there's something funny about these people. Then I walk down to the shadow, and I see all these white people and black people. I said, oh, no, they're not going to this club. So they're going back to this. I'm going back to this club. I think they're going to go here. So I'm sitting on the water fountain in front of the clubhouse with my arms crossed, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, they're going to come here. I know they're coming here. And so, like, an hour later, they came popping down the block, and they gagged to see me sitting there on the motherfucking, on the water fountain. So we go inside the fucking club, and I'm in the club, and I'm sitting at the front, and I'm on the stage, and I'm watching all of this going on, and I'm just gagging that I never knew that boys can look like this. I never knew girls can look like this. I was just utter gagnations, mouth dropped to the floor.
And what was the first, like, femme queen you had? What was the first femme queen you saw and you was just like?
The first femme queens that I seen that was at the club that night, Danielle was there, Ashley was there, you was there, my cousin Sanaya was there, Carrie was there. The girls was out that night, and that night
I seen Jennifer there, and then I seen Albert there. They walk big boys and big girls runway that night. And then after that, Jennifer came out and she vogued, and I was gagging like, oh my God, if this fat lady can do that, I can do it too.
Right. Okay.
And so and I was just then, I was just in utter gagination. That was the first night I was at the clubhouse because Deidre tried to have me because she thought that I was a dyke at that time, Miss Thing, because everybody thought that I was a dyke. I was a butch queen, but everybody thought that I was a dyke, and they were just gagging, bitch, and, you know, and I just was out after that.
So, okay, now after you being out and stuff and all of that, this is where we get now. Now you out and you at this, you come into this clubhouse on 28th Street and you're moving about and you're moving about. How does the whole Mizrahi thing comes about?
The whole thing came about with everything was that I was out and I seen everybody doing different things. And so after a couple of months of being there, I said, okay, I want to try to do something. So I tried to walk Butch Queen Performance. They chopped me. I tried to walk Big Boy's Face. They chopped me. I tried to walk Big Boy's Runway. They chopped me, bitch. So it was like everything that I was trying to do, they was like giving me a no. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Why are they shading me the way they shaded me? So one day I came to the club, and I stole one of my grandmother's wigs, and I had my boy jeans on, and I knew if I pulled them up real high and snatched the belt that it would look real cut. And then I took my boy T-shirt and I tied it in the back, and I went in my Reebok book bag, and I pulled out the wig and I put it on, and I walked, and I got 10. And then, oh shit! So I had to put on a wig to do this. That's what I needed to do. And I was just there. And so then I was around Mark Revlon and Albert Revlon and all the older Revlons that was out back then. I was around all of them at that time. And so everybody was driving U-Hauls and stuff. And so then once Khadija found out I wasn't a dyke and stopped hitting on me, me and her became good girlfriends, and she used to rent the U-Hauls. I learned how to rent the U-Hauls. Then I became Mother U-Haul because all the queens that was renting the U-Hauls was only able to get the trucks. I was the first queen in ballroom history to take and get the U-Haul van. And that night when I came out with the U-Haul van, they deemed me Mother U-Haul.
Yeah, like my sister.
I was Mother U-Haul for about 2 years. I came out. I had my wig in my bag. I would put my wig on at the club. I would walk realness. I would win Butch Queen up in drag realness. I'd take my wig off and I'd be back to a boy. And so then after a while, the Mother U-Haul thing, it was all right, but I wanted to see what it was to take and be a part of a house. Okay, and nobody knows this. Everybody thinks that Mizrahi was my first choice. Mizrahi was never my first choice, okay? Mizrahi was my choice after I got turned down, but I didn't get turned down in a negative way. I got turned down in a positive way, okay? I got turned down from Ashley because I wanted to be I wanted to be in the house of St. Clair at the time when you and Ashley was living on the Grand Concourse on 183rd.
The St. Clair girls, yes, the St. Clair girls, that's true, I was there, yes.
Wanted to be in St. Clair, but Ashley told me, you have a good job that your grandmother got you working at that hospital. You need to take and finish school and make something out of your life, and then after you do that, I will let you be a part of the House of St. Clair. And so I felt a little type of way because I used to hang with y'all, and y'all was all my girlfriends, and I wanted to be in the house. I didn't want to be Mother U-Haul anymore. So I thought, you know, at that time, I didn't really think about the situation in a good way. I thought about it in a negative way, but I learned from that situation that I needed to do that to take and branch off to make something out of myself. And so by the grace of God, I have to thank Ashley, a.k.a. Mona, for definitely making me stay in school because, bitch, now I have a high school diploma, and if I wanted to do something with it and go on now at the age of 31, I could take and go back to school and get a degree or do something with myself. So I definitely do have to thank her for that because she installed that in me and made me finish school because I really didn't want to finish school because it was all about going to the club. I needed to be out on Wednesday, and I couldn't get up on Thursday to go to school.
Oh, yeah. I am gagging that you taking me back like that because, yes, she's telling the truth. And you used to come to the concourse, and we used to be all outside and mow and all of us. I remember that. Okay, so now that happens. You want to be in this house. Now, tell America who brought and who brought you to and how did Ms. Rahi come?
Okay, so now Ray Ray, Monique, and Taifa, and all of them, I knew all of them for years, and Zaquan, and all of them, and they was all my girlfriends. I hung out with them because they was Ray Ray's circle, all the old legendary Butch Queens and the awesome Ms. Rahi. I hung out with them because they was my girlfriends, and so they was going to a house meeting one day, and so I said, well, I want to go. I want to join the awesome Ms. Rahi. And so we went to Brooklyn, I think it was Park Place, to Andre's house to have a house meeting. And so we sat there waiting for Andre to come, and he was supposed to be driving from D.C., from Trax at the time, to come to New York back to his house to have a house meeting. Andre never made it to that house meeting, so I never got in that house that day. So I had to wait until the next month for them to have the next house meeting. And so after the next month, I came to the house meeting, and I was at the house meeting, but the last one I was at, it was just all the Butch Queens. It wasn't really none of the girls wasn't there. So the next house meeting I came, Monique and them got me done. I was in drags and everything, and I came to the house meeting at Legendary Dory and Ms. Rahi house. I came to her house to the house meeting, and so I'm sitting there. The Butch Queens is on one side of the room. The drags and the femme queens is on the other side of the room. And so they asked me, why do I want to be a part of the House of Ms. Rahi? And I told them, I want to be a part of the House of Ms. Rahi because all my girlfriends is in the House of Ms. Rahi, and the House of Ms. Rahi is really fab, Miss Day. And so then after that, and I said, oh, wait, one more thing. And one day, I'm going to take and be the mother of this house. And so at that point, it was nose across the board from all the female figures that was in the House of Ms. Rahi. All the drags and all the film queens said no, 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 no. So when they got to the vote, it was tied at 11-11. And thank God for my sister, the legendary icon, Beverly Kahn, came through the motherfucking door, Miss Thing. Because if she didn't come through the door, Miss Thing, I don't know if I would have been in the house, Miss Thing. She came through the house, and that was my sister, Miss Thing, and she voted, and I became a Ms. Rahi. Hello?
Wow, okay. Wow, this is getting more juicy because I'm starting to remember things more as we go on and everything. Okay, so now you are Mother Ms. Rahi. You are Ms. Rahi, and you have now brought the vans to the scene. You're driving around in the vans, and it's the Ms. Rahi clique. And now, okay, at what point of your life, and I don't just mean as ballroom, but I mean as far as the things you used to do, at what point in your life did it escalate, that thing that you found? Because what Kelly's always been good at is taking something that she's learned from somewhere else, like the U-Haul and a couple of other things that you people may not know about. I'll give her the opportunity. And taking it to another level and being able to turn things out differently from other people. So what part, after all of this now, do all the whole shopping and app and all the other stuff, now what that comes apart? Where does that all come apart where you start now doing things that the lifestyle basically
all of that for? came about because remember one day on the show, me and Mariah had a big dispute about me and her talking back in the days. Because back in the days, me and Mariah used to talk when we were both Butch Queens, but Mariah didn't know that Kelly and Mother U-Haul was the same person. And so one day I went to Baltimore with Monique to see Mariah, at this time Robin, a.k.a. Mariah, a.k.a. Robin at the time, and we was in Baltimore and we was chilling, and they said, okay, it's a ball in Virginia. We're going to go to Virginia. And I was like, okay, well, let's go. So we got in the car with Mariah. We drove down to Virginia. And the, so all the girls is going to the mall, and all the girls is getting their effects and their things together for the ball. And I see girls boosting. I see girls with cards. I see girls with paper. I'm not going to say exactly what it is.
Right,
you know,
right,
no.
Right.
Listening, the girls had cards. The girls had paper. The girls was boosting. So I'm like, well, I want to get involved in some of this stuff that the girls is doing. So I went, and back in the days, if anybody knew Mariah, when she was a Butch Queen, she always wore the L.A. hat, or she always had on the P hat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I went to this stand in Virginia, and I said, well, I want to have a hat just like my bro. So I stole these the same two hats in the thing, and as I'm on my way walking out the mall, bitch, the mall security stops me, and I get locked in Virginia, and I was locked for 90 days in Virginia Beach. And so I was just gagging. And so then after I got out of jail for those 90 days and I came back to New York, I continued to work at my job, working at the hospital and doing the things that I was doing. And then I met up with some Revlons. I'm not going to say what Revlons. I met up with some Revlons and some Overness when I got back to New York. And they was dibbling and dabbling in paper. And I started dibbling and dabbling in papers with them. And so the paper led to that, and the paper led to that. And then I started doing the things that I was doing, and then it was so fab, the things that I was doing. So it was like I'm working here at this job for 48 hours a week, and after 2 weeks, I'm only getting $800 and change after tax. I can make that in one motherfucking piece of paper.
Right.
So, bitch, my grandmother told me, she said, once they want to let you go from your job, okay? I got you this job here. They want to let you go. She said before they let you go from a good city job, put in your resignation. So if you ever want to get a city job again, you can always get a city job. Because once they fire you from a city job, you can never get another city job again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. And I just started dibbling in papers. I started dibbling in plastic. And then I met my ebony girlfriends. I'm not going to mention anybody's names. I met my ebony girlfriends that was doing it. And I had my U-Haul, and I would drive them around. They would do their thing. They would pay me for driving them around. And I'll do my thing. And so and that's where it just came from. And then I was just out there just doing my thing, just hard body. And then, you know, and I sit here and I tell y'all girls all the time, I've been in jail so many times. And I done did long stints in jail and time. But if anybody ever know that all the time that I have done in jail, and this is how you know I'm a real bitch, all the time I've done in jail, it was never for nothing that I had anything to do, okay? In my 15 years of being locked up, I was never locked up for my own craft, except last year when I got locked up for the Icon Ball. It was the only time in 15 years I was ever locked up for something that had to do with me. I was always locked up for something that had to do with somebody else. And, bitch, and I'm a real motherfucking bitch, so I held the motherfucking week down and I held the time down and I handled it like a motherfucking trooper. And I thought that the girls was going to be there to handle, to hold my motherfucking back and to make sure that my commissary and everything was done because I was doing their time for them. But they wasn't. I always had to turn back and fall on my family because family always knows best.
Wow. And people that are listening, the purpose of this story and the purpose of me doing this is for you to learn something that you don't have to try at home, that you don't have to try wherever you are. You can pick a better life because, as you see, she's come from this. There's, you know, I've heard a lot of different things, and you're my sister, and I want anybody to, this is how we're going to know these interviews are real, because I'm not going to be, this is not my sister at the moment, and I have to be really this, and I'm going to have to now address some of the rumors I like for you to clear up. So when it was that you had experience, there had been rumors that you were a big financial part of the house of Mizrahi. And when I say that and saying that, you know, you helped out, you took them around, most of the people back then probably would have called it a mascot. You drove people there, you did paper with people, you brought lots of things to the Mizrahi. This is the rumors. I'm going to make actually day true that you have brought lots of things to the Mizrahi Foundation as far as things that they needed. You were the bold one that would go and do things that would cost you your freedom for for your organization or your foundation. Is there any truth to those rumors?
I did things that I thought was for the betterment of the house to take and make sure that, you know, everybody, you know, get where they needed to get to. Like, as a mother, you have to do things to make sure your kids need to be where they need to be at. Like I was truly highly upset, like, you know, with the whole thing that happened at the Icon Ball, bitch. I went out and I bust my motherfucking ass that whole motherfucking weekend, bitch, and for the weeks before the ball, to make sure that all my kids had everything they needed, Miss Thing, for their category. If they was missing something, I made sure mother went out and I made sure mother had it for them, bitch. I did things that other mothers couldn't even stand to do, Miss Thing. And you notice from coming to the Christmas party, every child in my motherfucking house had a motherfucking Christmas present. I gave presents out to all my gifts to all my guests that was at the party. It's just things that I like to do. It wasn't like nobody was using me, or maybe I didn't see that the girls was using me, but I just did things that I thought that I would do. Because at the end of the day, the girls may have think that they was using me, but at the end of the day, I look at it as this. With the things that I had my hands into, I thank the Lord above, because he gave me a way out to help people. And at the end of the day, when you all these girls is running around here and they crafting and doing the things they doing, do you know why they back in jail so many times? Because they so selfish with their motherfucking shit.
Talk about
I'm never
it,
going
black
to be
woman.
Selfish. I'm never going to be selfish with anything that don't belong to me. So if somebody needs help, I'm going to help them. So if they think by me helping them that they're working me, no, they're not helping me. I'm opening the doors and I'm opening blessings from the Lord above, honey. Mm. And I thank the great God above that things that happened to certain many people that they didn't happen to me. Because I could have been in that black market scheme. I could have been in federal indictment and all types of things. But by the grace of God above, I'm not cheap with my shit and I'm not stingy with my shit. And I'll help anybody if they need it.
Reach black woman. That was really your on the road today, Mother Couture. Okay. Another rumor before I move on to more of a personal relation, your relationship bound part. Is there any truth to you doing any type of bid for the people that you loved or shared your wealth or whatever with? Is there any truth to you doing any bid for any
it's
members?
My 2 years that I did, it didn't have anything to do with the higher ups that I parted with. It had to do with those girls, and I'm not going
to
mention any names. Some of them Some of them have passed away, and some of them are still here. That night that we left my apartment in Avenue D, and all those girls is in my UR, and I was not going to Philadelphia to the Dorian Corey Awards Ball. I was waiting until the next weekend to go to D.C. for my birthday. The girls begged me to go to Philadelphia, and they said, oh, girl, we'll pay for everything, just drive us. So I said, you know what, let me just get up and just drive these girls. They got my outfit, they got everything that I needed. Let me just get up and go drive them. I drove them. We was driving through the village to go pick up somebody that was going with us, and then we was going to go through the Lincoln Tunnel and go to Philadelphia. I got stopped by the motherfucking cops, Miss Thing. I knew my driver's license was messed up, Miss Thing. And so I told the cops that night, it was about 10 girls in the back. I said, and if anybody know the U-Haul vans, they got these mats on the floor. You could take and pick the mat up and pick things underneath the mat. I told the cops, none of them have anything to do with it. You can let all of them go, because I knew that I was going in for that U-Haul, and it was just going to be unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and I was going to be out. When I got in front of that judge, I gagged, because all the girls that was back there that crafted and everything, they left all their craft and stuff at Mac. I went to jail for those 2 years.
Wow, bitch. And I've been your son. I didn't know that detail. Wow.
They left checkbooks, they left remakes and everything in the back of that U underneath that mat, and that's why I went to jail for those 2 years.
will see how God is. God is. Okay, I have to go back on another question that you were saying. You said how you're not a bitch and everything. But being around and being a part of and everything, you have had lots of physical altercations. How do you explain when you get angry how you can become so physical sometimes?
Let me, and I'm going to explain that to y'all. In 15 years, every altercation that I had in 15 years, besides one altercation that I had in 15 years, has something to do with me. The only altercation that had something to do with me was the altercation between me and Alora, God rest her soul, when I didn't know that this was her man, and her man, me and I was having her man,
yes,
and I didn't know that was her man. The only altercation in 15 years that had something to do with me. Every altercation that I've been into in 15 years, had anything to do with me.
Okay, so when you attack Sean in the clubhouse, was that altercation about you at all?
When you talk about at the Globe that night. The Globe that night. That altercation at the Globe.
The first time you ever, and you had the whoopers at the first, that, yes.
And I was at the Globe. You talk about the night that I whooped into the house of St. Clair Ice. That altercation did not have anything to do with me, Miss Thing. He felt some type of way because Mona, our sister, our good girlfriend, honey, had left the house of St. Clair. And he wanted to sit back there with his girlfriend at the Globe, and he wanted to read her because she left the house of St. Clair. And I said, no, you're not going to read her. You're just gagging because you have no way to bring a crowd into your bar anymore to make a coin because she's gone. As I was walking away, I had 22 inches of hair. He snatched me by my hair. I turned around, Miss Thing, and when I turned around, he punched me in my face. I went upstairs. I set the judges' table over. I said, the ball is over. I want all the St. Clair outside. Never had anything to do with me.
I will fuck you up, Mark. Yes, well, that was confirmated. That's true. And once again, like you said, it didn't have anything to do with her. Okay, so, wow. All right. So I don't need to go into any more as far as the violent part of yourself because you've done the fabulous with other would be Alora, and we've talked about that many times. So I guess that pretty much explains the part of you having physical altercations and being involved with a lot of drama. They mainly don't have anything to do with you, but who the people you are always defending and standing up for. How did this go? I mean, you was Mother You Whore, you came out, you was in, you was Pop, you was Pop, then you was Mother You Whore, then you came out, and now you was a Mizrahi. And then you started putting on wigs, but you started sleeping with dykes. Excuse me, trans men, back when we were young, Kelly, we used to call them dykes, you know, and butchers and bull daggers. But what happened? Weren't you gay? Like, you know,
you know
wanted...
what happened was, you know, my mother still wasn't comfortable with the situation. My mother was still not comfortable with the situation. And so the whole dyke situation came about by me trying to still make her comfortable with the situation. So, you know, if I still mess with a girl and I look like a girl, she'll be a little bit more comfortable with the situation and everything. So that's where that whole thing came about.
And so, wait, because, you know, we've known each other in a long time, Miss Singh. I want to say that was one of me and her altercations, so I would say that's one butch queen. I've heard of a few, you know, in the past of you, but what would you say would be your most loving and caring situation when you dated the butch queens or when you dated I don't want to say dykes. I'm just going to say trans man,
It's definitely, you know, me and you definitely do have history. But I would definitely say, you know, the thing that happened with me and your ex, I'm not going to mention his name, I'm not going to mention anybody's name, but that only happened because of the girls that found him and brought him out. They tried me and said, you're fat, you're sloppy, he would never talk to you. So I had to make them know it, and that's the only reason that situation happened. I had to make those girls know it. Those girls know who they are. But
I think my most.
Yes, they do. I hope they're listening.
I think my most loving thing would have to be with the Dykes. It would have to be with the Dykes because the Butch Queens. I'm a short tempered person and I'm a no nonsense type of person, and I think the fact of if I was to date a Butch Queen, I'm not gonna take no motherfucking shit from them. And so the things that they think that they're going to try that they do with these other girls, they're not gonna be able to do that with me because a Butch Queen at the end of the day, you're still a man just like me. And so I'm gonna fuck you up with the messing with the guys and the trans men. Like you still have to have some type of limits to where you will go with them because at the end of the day, they still are women.
Mm. Very well said. Okay, you are now in a relationship with Raiden Mizrahi, is that correct? How long have y'all been together?
And come January 2nd, it'll be 2 years.
And what about that relationship makes you happy and secure?
Because, you know, me and Raiden, we're both Geminis.
Oh, my God. Everybody, hang up. I did not know that. That explains everything.
We both Geminis, so we both think alike. We think alike. Things happen. Like, when Raiden is about to say something, I say something, it'd be the same thing, and I'll be looking at her, and she'd be looking at me, and she'd be like, won't you get out my head? And, like, it works. We have our altercations, we have our fights, like, you know, we break up, we go through things, I put her out and everything, but at the end of the day, I do truly, genuinely love Raiden because, you know, we just mesh well together.
Oh, kudos. That's kudos. Okay. So, now, you know, rumors has it that... Okay, yeah, we have, because I want to also get some of your callers, and so I got to make sure of my question. Rumor has it that when you were in the house of Mizrahi, that you were told by the CEO, Andre Mizrahi, that you would never be the mother of his house. And as you progressed in the house of Mizrahi, the term... Overall East Coast mother came. And that was the mother title that they had decided to give. And rumor has it that it was made especially for you because of Jasmine and her relationship with Andre. Would you like to clarify some, go into that with Mimi?
Okay. The whole thing was, okay, Andre, and this is the whole thing, and this is one thing, and I paid it for so many years. Okay, and this is one of the reasons why I left the house of Mizrahi with everything. Andre told me that I would never, ever be the mother of this house, this thing. He told me that I would have to move to Alaska if I wanted to be the mother of this house.
Oh, shit.
And so, yes, listen, we're going to be real. And so,
please,
you know, Jasmine
real,
came aboard and Jasmine sat and she talked with Andre and everything. And then eventually it happened. I became the New York City mother of the house of Mizrahi. And so as me sitting here and being the New York City mother of the house of Mizrahi, I felt that, okay, nobody in this house made up a raw East Coast mother. Let me get to that. I did, okay? I came up with that because of the fact of when I look at a mother or I look at a father, I want them to blend together. I want them to mesh together. At the time, Caliente was the father of New York City, and I was the New York City mother. Me and Caliente did not mend or blend together. It did not look right. If I wanted to take and walk best dressed mother and best dressed father, me and Caliente would not look right standing there together. So I told them that we need to make up. I want to be the overall East Coast mother of the house of Mizrahi. And we're going to find a mother that's going to be suitable to stand with Caliente. Okay? So at this time, Giselle had left the house of Extravaganza. So my goal was to get Giselle and Caliente together because Giselle was going to become a Mizrahi, and her and Caliente was going to stand together because they was a good blend together. At this time, it was so much confusion and drama going on in the house, and the house was split up, and it was that side versus this side. I'm not going to say no names. It was that side versus this side. And the girls felt, okay, well, Giselle's coming to the house. She's going to replace Kelly and la, 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 this and la, 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 that. Not the girls knowing that nobody can replace Kelly. There's only one Kelly. Nobody's going to replace me. She was going to come here, and she was going to be a mother here, but I was going to be over her, and she was going to take leads for me. So the girls felt like, oh, yeah, she's coming. She's over here. She hangs out with us. She's about to take this to another level, Miss Thing, and Miss Kelly's about to gag. So after 2000, and I think the last collections were for the $5,000. Was it the $5,000 or was it the schoolboy? The schoolboy. The schoolboy $5,000 at the lab. It was supposed to happen then. So when I got all of this E from the girls that this is the way it was going to go, and they thought that Giselle was coming here and they was going to gag me and thought that she was going to be this, I gagged them that night at the collections ball with myself and Jasmine and made cat eyes. The New York City mother.
Okay. Okay.
So the girls in the house that was giving all of this about Giselle, they gagged because none of them knew that Jasmine was coming out as the overall mother, and they thought Giselle was coming out as the New York City mother, but Kat came out as his New York City mother.
And by this time now, you were the overall East Coast mother.
And I was the overall East Coast mother, and the girls was gagging because they didn't know, well, now Kat is in New York City, well, what is Kelly? And that's when I had to let them know that I was the overall East Coast mother, and the girls was reading, oh, they only made that position because they didn't really want her to be mother, so they just made that shit up. No, I made it up, and all you girls that sat there and y'all read this position, how many overall East Coast mothers is there? How many overall East Coast fathers is there? How many overall East Coast godfathers are there? Godmothers. I started that. I was the blueprint for that. But y'all read it. But now y'all got it.
Okay. So now that you are the overall, okay, you're the overall East Coast mother, have you ever been the type of person to be a drug user, to be into drugs, to smoke reefer, I know everybody knows that you smoke packs of cigarettes for 5 hours apiece, but have you ever been the type of person that has been really into drugs like this lifestyle has set around most of the children?
Oh, no. You know what? When I became mother, okay, I popped the pill, and it was only on special occasions, New Year's, my birthday, I would pop a pill. And then I said to myself, like, you know, different lovers that I was with wanted to have kids. And so I never really wanted to get into drugs like that because my mother and my uncles and aunts were stone cold crackheads, like back in the days, Harlem crackheads. You were Christmas shopping, and bitch, you'd come back, and all your Christmas clothes and shit would be gone and stuff. So I never really wanted to get into drugs. So then as I got with different dykes, and they wanted to have children or try to have children, I get the way, you know, if I want to have kids, and I want to be able to take and do things and talk to my children about things, I can't talk to them about things that I never experienced. So I need to go out here and I need to try to experience stuff. I have nothing against anybody that does drugs, Miss Thing. I have nothing against them, Miss Thing, because I do my thing. And I do my thing from time to time. But it's about being a social user, Miss Thing. It's not about, okay, every time I go out, I have to have a motherfucking bump. I have to have a pill. I have to have a snort of K, Miss Thing. I have to have a cocktail. No, it's about picking and choosing when I'm going to do it and when I'm not going to do it. I don't have a problem with doing it. Yes, I do dibble dabble in drugs, Miss Thing, and I do my thing. And I love what I do when I do it. And whenever y'all see me at a bar, Miss Thing, and I'm quiet and I'm calm and I'm cool, and I'm a collect mistake, you know mother is lit.
So you basically are saying that you have dip and dab and you control. You have had totally control. You have never lost control.
I have 159% control of everything I do. I use and I do and I do and I choose to do it when I want to do it.
Okay. All right, so now that you're okay, the Overworld's cousin mother, there were rumors that when, after I guess the Cat and I don't know what happened with Cat and Caliente, that they wanted to bring on Mike and Trace and Lola, and you were on board, but you didn't like Mike. You just were on board for the girls. Is that true?
At that time, you know, me and Mike had our altercations because of the situation with Jason. And as of now, we corrected our situation, and I picked the past in the past because that's the type of person I am. I can hold a grudge for a very long time. Bitch, I haven't spoken to my real cousin in 5 motherfucking years. Tell him, give me a few minutes. I haven't spoken to my real cousin in about in a couple of years. I can hold a grudge for a long time, but we put it to the side. And yes, Lola was supposed to come out that night at the VSU ball. When Trace came out, nobody never knew this. When Trace came out that night as Mother Mizrahi, Lola was supposed to come out as the overall East Coast mother of the House of Mizrahi. And I was going to come out that night at the VSU ball as the founding mother of the House of Mizrahi.
And why didn't that go down?
Because the Balenciagas found out that Lola was coming to the house and they made her mother.
Cool. Is that why you and Harold has had a problem over the years?
No, I don't know. No, me and Harold problems didn't come from that. Me and Harold problems stem from other things, you know, the catty shade, boardroom things, you know, things
okay.
of that nature.
Would you say that your shade is intense or it's just boardroom shade and it's just, you know, back and forth like I call me and his thing, you know?
It's just ballroom shade. It's nothing personal. Just ballroom shade. Me and Harold see each other. We speak. We kiki and everything. It's just ballroom.
Okay. Well, y'all and everybody that be on the phone and y'all hearing and y'all hear she's going off do her interview. You know. So now all this is done. You this day. Trace is here. Lola went to be Mother Mizrahi and everything. And out of the blue sky, you up and leave 3 days before the collections ball, and then 3 days later, you become the overall mother of the House of Couture. Would you like to explain that to the callers, your children, and everybody that supported and lived for Kelly Mizrahi?
Well, what happened was, it's been so many things that has happened, and I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. Like, I'm always 100% honest with everybody. So many things had happened in the house. And I was the mother of New York City, and I was the overall East Coast mother. I never, ever felt that I was mother in New York City, okay? I always felt that I was mother in other states. When I went to other states, I felt like I was mother. I never felt like I was mother in New York. And I paid it, and I stayed here, and it was so many things that was said to me and done to me, and I paid it, and I still was a part of the House of Mizrahi. And, like, the thing, after a while, you get fed up and you get tired of things, and you just have to let it go. You just have to leave it alone and just move on to other things, and I get tired of it. I was told many things that girls said about me in the house, and girls would read me, and girls was just going to sit back, and they was going to watch me just fail and watch the house crumble, and then that's when they was going to step back into the light and, you know, come and clean up what my wrongs. They was waiting for me to fall. But I never fell like they wanted me to do. I always rise to the top. I was told that I was only good for ordering pizza and soda and craft and all types of things. That's the only thing I was ever good for.
Would you say that if Andre, first of all, did Andre ever reach out to you as far as you exiting the House of Mizrahi?
I spoke to Jack on Thursday. I spoke to Jack on Friday. I spoke to Jack on Saturday. Jack didn't want me to leave the house. Jack said he was going to call Andre. He was going to talk to Andre. We was going to fix this problem and everything. And so I said to myself, okay, well, I'm going to see where this goes, and I'm going to make my decision from there once I speak with Andre
and I speak with Jack. I spoke with Jack. I never spoke with Andre. I've been in this house for 13 years. And I feel that as a person, if you call me your daughter, you call me your child, you call me your friend, okay? If you genuinely wanted to talk to me, okay, you don't send me a message on Facebook. I would never send a message to anybody on Facebook that I actually care about and they're a part of my house and everything and all the things that's going on with them. I would never ever send them a message on Facebook. I would pick up the phone and I would call them and I would talk to them on the phone and voice my opinion. Yes, Andre did reach out to me, but Andre reached out to me in the wrong way. Andre reached out to me on Facebook and I felt that that was a smack in my motherfucking face.
So, would you? Is it safe to say that if Andre maybe would have called you and showed you some love, that you would still be the mother of the house of Ms. Ryan?
Yes, probably so. Yes.
Okay, and okay. Now you're winding down things a little bit. What does the whole ballroom scene and all the new people and even the house of Ms. Ryan here and myself have to look for in the future from Kelly, overall mother, legendary overall mother, Couture?
Well, like I said in the house of Mizrahi, and I told everybody, and I spoke with Jack, and he agreed with me, and everybody agreed with me. The problem that I had, and you know how Tyra say, when the girls come on their show, well, her show, you got to have a signature walk, okay? I was tired of Andre pulling out the bag that he had his signature line, and his signature line was, at the end of the day, this is my house. At the end of the day, we all sat back and we said the House of Mizrahi was like a company, and we was going to run it as a company. Yes, anybody out there in boardroom can now open up a company and they can run a company. But at the end of the day, you cannot run that company by yourself. You have to branch out, and you have to get employees, just like Jasmine Company. She ran her company for 3 years by herself. But at the end of the day, she had to go out, and she had to hire people to help her run her company. And that was my problem. It was my house, my house, my house, okay? At the end of the day, when Jack and Andre didn't answer their phone, I had calls. People called me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, the girls are reading on Facebook. The girls are doing this. The girls are doing that. I'm getting woke up out of my sleep because they're not answering their phone, and I have to rectify these problems, okay? I was the one rectifying all the problems and making the means, making the girls, molding things over and getting the girls to do this and getting the girls to do that, and I just got tired of it being my house. With the House of Couture, I have a vision. I have a creative vision that I'm going for, and it's not going to be my house. It's going to be our house. And anybody that's going to come and want to be a part of the House of Couture, they have to be unique in their own way. They have to give me that couture image. And we're going to work together as a team, as a family, as a company, and we're going to branch out, and we're going to make this one of the next strongest houses in the ballroom scene that the girls have never seen. And we're going to work together with it, because I have goals for my children in and out of the ballroom scene. And I want them to make something in the scene of themselves, and I want them to make something out of the scene with themselves. It's a lot of things that's in the scene that I regret that I have done and fucked up my life, and I don't want that for anybody that's going to be affiliated with me.
Well said. Do the ballroom scene in itself has to any new categories to look forward to from you?
No, the girls don't have to look forward to me walking any category anytime soon. I'm just going to be worried about building up my strong 15 or 20, because that's all I want is 15 or 20, and I want them to be elite. And I want them to take it, come out here, and I want them to dominate the floor. And mother's going to sit back, and she's going to sit on judge's panel, and she's going to be quiet, and she's going to be calm, and she's going to be cool, and she's going to be collect. Because with this bunch of children that I'm bringing up, I don't have to worry about them being shaded or anything, and me have to read judges and all types of things, because it's not going to happen.
Wow. Well, wow. What type of father are you looking for now for your new foundation?
The father that I'm looking for, He's going to definitely be Couture. He's definitely going to be one of a kind, and he is definitely going to be no replacing him. If I get the father that I'm looking at underneath my belt, the girls are going to know that I'm definitely a force to be reckoned with. And I'm working on that now. I sent him a message today, and I'm working on that. And I'm working on that now. So when it happens, if it happens, November 12th, the girls is going to know that the Coutures are not playing.
Well, I am. I think you gave in everyone like a really, really, really full mouth tour. Do you ever think that it's going to be any possibility of you returning to the original family and foundation that you grew up out of?
No, I'm not going to return to the Mizrahi. I'm just going to branch off, and I'm going to do my own thing. I can't go back. My grandmother always told me one thing in life is you never go backwards, you always look forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, and I think that's a lesson learned to all of us, even when we decide to look backwards, or, you know, or even when we decide to do something and it's not in a different. If you're going to go back, you don't go back for the same. You go back for greater, and you shouldn't have to go back at all, because there's always greater ahead. So I that's cool. Kudos to that too. So you're going to be debuting at James and Rodney's Ball.
Yes, I will.
With your members and stuff that you are. Are you planning to go out tonight to Vogue Night?
Hello?
Are you planning to go out tonight to Vogue Night?
The girl?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I said, are you planning to go out tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you back in the big city and you gonna go shake it up down there. I wish I could go downtown with y'all. You're gonna shake it up and everything. Well, I really appreciate you coming on this line. I know you're about to go, but I want to see if anybody on the phone line that may have a short, brief couple of statements for Kelly in her interview or something you have to say. I know she's trying to go out, but she's getting in the cab. She just got back from Virginia. So, you know, you have a couple of minutes to come on, and if you'd like to say anything or you'd like to share something with Kelly, the overall legendary mother of the house of Couture, and even if you'd like to join this stuff and be supportive, press 1 now so you can be able to say something. I don't just want to hang up. You know, I'm not going out, but she is. But press 1. Sorry, if you want to, guys.
We have two callers. 678-412, you're live on the air.
Hi, Kelly. I feel that you're not wrong for leaving the house. I mean, if you're not comfortable and they're not seeing eye to eye with you, then I feel that you should leave. And there's another question that I have, because I know you stay in New York, and I live in Atlanta, so I was wondering, like, are you going to have an Atlanta chapter?
Once I finish building up my New York chapter, I'm definitely going to reach out and try to start something down in Atlanta.
Okay.
So look forward to that, honey. We're definitely going to touch every state in the ballroom scene and put something on the map and make sure that Couture is definitely out there and the girls definitely know that we are definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, and what are you requiring? Like, what are you looking for the person?
I'm looking for unique people that is not just. No, I'm looking for one of a kind type of people. I'm looking for somebody that's going to do something on the ballroom floor, but they also have something going for them in their real life. Whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's anything, just as long as you're doing something, and it's not just all about the ballroom scene. Okay. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Okay. The next caller we have is 917-215. You're live on the air.
I'm back, darling.
Who is this?
This is Terrell Ebony.
Terrell, we can't talk right now. Terrell, you got a question for me?
Is this Miss Kelly?
Yes, this is.
Hi, baby.
How you doing, Terrell?
You just started your house?
Yes, I did.
And congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
And I wish you very, very much well. I wish you much success, my This is the Kelly Show now?
No, this is still Nicole's show. She just interviewed me.
I'm interviewing Kelly, and you need to call me after the show.
Hold on.
We got a whole bunch of other callers to
round. Okay, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm going to call like everybody motherfucking else, and what I feel is like they're rushing me off, and everybody else has something to fucking say.
And, what do you have to say, Val?
Now, listen, I don't listen to a bunch of girls talk about a bunch of shit that didn't make no motherfucking, that had no merit. Now, I don't understand when I get on. All of a sudden, I was hurry up.
Okay, go ahead, Ralph. Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead. If you have something to say to Kelly in her interview, that's what I want to keep it on.
Well, first of all, I want to say, Kelly, I am a pro fan for your house, sweetie, and we need to talk. However, before I was really cut off before the last conversation being this and go ahead, I wanted to say something about the House of Gaston, and I wanted to on a video show so they could hear me clearly.
No, Terrell, we can't do that, Terrell. We can't do
that right now.
That's
Kelly
night.
That's
not the straight line.
No, that's Monday night.
Kelly night. Kelly's night.
Okay,
the
next caller is 646-509. You're live on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say congratulations and good luck in your new endeavors that you're going to take on this road, and I hope and wish you much success.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Wait a minute. And look, that was really a nice interview.
Thank you, Derek.
And Kelly, love you.
Love you. Next caller we have is 347-644. You're live on the air.
Yeah, hello, Kelly.
Yes.
Well, first off, I want to say congratulations on your new house. And then second off, I want to say that it was a really nice interview, and I have seen you and met you a few times in person, and it really changed my perception of you, and I really hope that this works out for you.
Thank you very much, darling.
Oh, wow.
Welcome. Have a good day.
Have a good night. The next caller is 773-877. You're live on the air.
Hey, Kelly. This is Mother Bianca from Chicago.
Hey, Bianca.
How you doing? I've been listening. That was just a really beautiful story. You know, I like real people, and just hearing you talk is just really an inspiration for being a female figure in the scene. You know, hearing your words, they are really inspirational, and I hope that more girls was listening to know that it's okay to be confused. And, you know, everybody isn't perfect. I wish you so much luck on your endeavors, because I really felt your story, and I just really had to say congratulations, and I hope you the best.
Thank you very much, Bianca. The next caller we have is 917-693. You're live on the air.
Hey, Kelly, this is Keisha again.
Hey, Keisha.
Kelly, you know, the more I see you, the more you speak, the more I hear you, I just have to give the utmost respect for you. First, congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think you are moving in the right direction. I think you learn by trial and error, and the more you get older, the more you get more wiser. And I think you are a leader, and I think people, you all should be a force to be reckoned with. And I'm going to still get you at the ball. but seriously, on the real, you know what, you're doing your thing. Congratulations, and don't let no one tell you nothing negative. Keep moving in the right direction. Good luck.
Thank you, Keisha. Okay. Well, Keisha was definitely our last caller. I'm gonna get up out of hand, and I'm gonna let Nicole close out the show, and then Beyonce is gonna take y'all up with love on top. But like Beyonce said, you should have listened to the words that was coming out of my mouth, okay? And nobody never listened to what was going on with me. Oh, hold on. We have one more caller. Let's take this last caller. 973-732, you're live on the air. Okay, they gone. They hung up. But like I said, the girl should have listened. It's been the cries and everything have been out there for years. No one listened to my cries. So after the end of the day, you just have to do what you have to do. And that's what I did, what I have to do. I had to take and, make something better for myself. I'm not saying nothing was wrong with what I had in the House of Mizrahi, but now I want to better myself. I had a 13-year legacy in the House of Mizrahi. Now I'm ready to branch off and start a new legacy. Jasmine closed the House of Guitar many years ago. Now I'm reopening it now as of Saturday, and I want to build on that, and I want to branch on that, and I want to do something that I can leave a lasting memory here in the ballroom scene along with everybody else. I don't want my memory to always be that I was Kelly Mizrahi and I was Jack and Andre's understudy. Now I'm here to be Kelly Couture, and I'm going to leave my own legacy behind along with my 13-year legacy in the House of Mizrahi. If God is willing, I have another 65 years, and I can leave a strong legacy in this ballroom scene that will definitely break and mold the ballroom scene in a whole new direction like Jasmine has been doing with the Collections Ball. I love y'all all for loving me, and whatever bathroom or whatever alleyway y'all definitely do go into tonight, please make sure y'all do practice safe sex, because the life you save will definitely be your own. I'm the legendary overall mother, Kelly Couture, and I love you all for loving me. Nicole, take it away, sister. I love you. Thanks for the interview.
I love you, too, and thank you all for calling in. I'm so excited. I was so tired, but y'all got me up. I wish I could be at Vogue night. I thank you all for listening in. This show is based, the platform is to be real, and I would like for everybody to come up on the show to be real. And all you sisters and all you brothers, I love you. Wherever you do it safe. Look forward to, we're going to see if I can get one with Father now that he came on here. Look forward to all the next interviews from the icons and the pioneers and the legends. If you would like to tell your story, if you have something that you think can help somebody else, you have a few words that you should share, please, just like God brought you through it, he can bring them through it, and we can all help each other by bringing each other through it. I am the legendary overall East Coast mother, Mother Carr, and I greatly appreciate this show, and it was very, very, I'm so happy. God bless you all, and have a wonderful night.
Can't you see the glow on the window pane?